Tom Zalatni.
And I'm Tafra Jemian.
And you're listening to the No Bad Food Podcast. If you're new here, welcome. This is a show about great food and the people who love to make and eat it. Our mandate is simple: to explore, taste, and learn about food in ways that celebrate all the things that make it great.
Every week, we dig into a different dish, meal, ingredient, cuisine, or piece of food media, exploring the history and culture around it, sharing favorite recipes, and learning from our wonderful guests. The only rule?
You gotta love it.
After all, there's no such thing as bad food. Before we dig in, we'd like to take a minute to acknowledge that the studio where we're recording is situated within the traditional and unsurrendered territories of the Ganyangahaga First Nations. As settlers, it's important that we remember that the lands we occupy are not our own, and that we engage in conversations that challenge the colonial mindset. We encourage you to take some time today and every day to reflect on your relationship with the land you live on and with the Indigenous communities of that area. And I want to give a little shout out to the students across Canada and the US who are currently making a huge stand about the rights of people to their land. And just say that this generation gives me a lot of hope, and it's nice to see them bonking the military police with water bottles.
You did say bonking.
Okay. I did say bonking. Bonk the police.
It took me a second. I was like, it's nice to see them. I was like, I was on board with you, and then you said the word bonking, and I'm like, it's nice to see them bonking.
You've seen the video of them bonking the police with a big water bottle, right?
I have, and I'd just like to say this is a word of encouragement to everyone out there who is dealing with any kind of problems whatsoever. Sometimes all you need is bonk.
Yeah, truly. I also, like, this is something I've seen. Like, I didn't come up with this on my own, but some of the commentary around it pointing out that American children were abandoned by the government when school shootings started being more and more common, right? Mm-hmm. They were taught instead to barricade themselves in their classrooms and fortify their schools on their own because nobody was going to help them. And seeing them use that knowledge to protect their own right to protest is extremely heartening.
Yeah, it's almost like a nice protest
technique. It's poetic.
Yeah, it's poetic. Yeah. That's it.
It's like poetic.
It's like, yeah, you guys screwed up so hard the way that you could have protected these kids, and they have turned into adults who are not going to stand for your bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And know how to barricade their school buildings
against
the cops.
And look, I don't know about you, but I have existed in spaces with water coolers before.
Yeah.
And like, you don't refill those jugs.
No.
You recycle them.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have those jugs kicking around after they're emptied. And so I think this is also a really nice opportunity to learn how to reduce, reuse, and recycle if you're in a space that has water jugs.
And that water jug was multi-purpose, you know, it was acting as a drum, it was acting as a bonk.
Yep.
Really good technique of, you know, using what's on hand, right?
That's it. And so speaking of using things that are on hand and finding versatile uses for an object, be it to bonk, be it to drum, today we are talking once again about rice, and specifically we are talking about rice pudding. So rice pudding it's a kind of exactly what it sounds like. If you know what pudding is and you know what rice is, you can probably imagine rice pudding. It is, I think, kind of worldwide, there are versions of rice pudding anywhere that rice is consumed. But basically, you take rice, you take usually milk, you take spices, flavorings, something to make it sweet, maybe eggs if you want to thicken it up, if you're from a part of the world that likes to do that to its rice pudding. And you boil it down and make it into a yummy dessert. And so we're here today to talk a little bit about rice pudding.
I'm a big fan of rice pudding. This episode came about because one of our patrons said that we didn't talk enough about the sweet applications of rice during Munch Madness. And, you know, I got to agree. Like, we didn't talk very much about the sweet applications of rice, and there are many, many, many sweet applications of rice.
Definitely.
Rice pudding, as you alluded, is pretty much worldwide, but especially in Asia, like all of Asia, not just East Asia, where rice is grown and consumed a lot. So you have Middle Eastern rice puddings, you have Indian kheer, you have loads, of course, in East Asia. Because, you know, something that is nice about starches is they taste really good sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I don't really think much of, like, North America as being a rice pudding place, except in that I know a lot of people here who, like, make it independently, but I don't ever see it on menus. I don't think about it as like I don't think of Canadian food rice pudding. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really a thing.
I'm sure there are places where it's, like, regionally more common.
Sure.
It did emerge in England in the Tudor era.
Okay.
So, like, it has been, at least in England, for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was originally called, in Tudor England, white pot.
Well, I'm glad we landed on rice pudding, actually.
I really like how Tudors named things. They were very silly. But white pot was just really similar to what it is now. Rice, milk, cream and sugar flavored with something nice. Arroz con leche, pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. Kheer, pretty much the same thing. There's an Armenian rice pudding called gatnabur, pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. In Egypt, it is called roz bel laban, which is literally rice with milk. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that change are the seasonings. In Persia, you'll see saffron and rose water. That's in a lot of the Middle East. Lebanese, they tend to make it with like anise and caraway and cinnamon. Mm-hmm.
There's an Italian version of it called budino di riso that is, you know, made with milk, eggs, and the classic Italian dessert pairing of raisins and candied orange peel.
Ooh, delicious.
Yep.
There's also a Bengali one with cardamom and pistachio, which for me personally, when I make rice pudding, I love to make it with cardamom and saffron, so okay. Like that sounds real good to me.
Yeah, I would love to try that with the pistachio sometime.
Sometimes egg is added to increase the creaminess. I have to say, I made rice pudding with egg this year after usually making it without egg. I usually just make it with milk and rice, and I prefer it without egg. I found it was just teeny bit too rich for me, that the eggs just made it a little bit too much.
Sure.
There's also oven baked rice pudding, where you get this beautiful bronzed lid on the top.
Okay.
Yeah, the caramelized sugars.
Sure.
And it almost looks like a Basque cheesecake. It's
But then I'm guessing you get a bit of that crispy rice effect on the top layer there as well, right?
Maybe. I don't know. Like a tadig rice pudding, are you thinking?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if you could make tadig rice pudding.
Because surely if the top layer crisps up a little bit, some of the rice is going to get a little bit of that crunch.
A little bit. But I feel like the sugars would burn before you would really get the tadig effect.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So yeah, rice pudding. It happens because you have to do something with leftover rice, right? Just like fried rice.
Yeah.
Sometimes you make fried rice and sometimes you make rice pudding.
Yeah.
I also just have to shout out to Iceland for making it weird, because they serve it with cinnamon sugar raisins and liver sausage.
Listen.
Classic Icelandic move there.
I mean, it's funny because I was actually thinking, like, not about putting sausage into a rice pudding because that feels wrong, but I do think, like, a sausage on the side of some rice pudding does kind of sound like a nice little breakfast experience. I wasn't specifically thinking about, like, liver sausage, but, like, you know, little maple boy on the side there. Sounds nice to me.
You can appreciate that. So overall, the formula for rice pudding is cooked rice, some kind of milk, be that plant or dairy milk, some kind of sweetener. Mm-hmm. It can be sugar, it can be jaggery, it can be maple syrup. There's actually a New England one made with maple syrup.
Okay, sure.
And then some kind of flavoring. So that could be vanilla. It's very often cinnamon, cardamom, rose water, saffron. There's a chocolate one. Like, you can really do just about anything. It's kind of a blank canvas.
Sure.
It's also really good just as is. It's a nice, neutral, comforting dish.
It is. It's really beautiful. Yeah, my, like, first real experience of rice pudding was, it's not something I grew up with, but there was a summer in high school where I was working for a day camp for the summer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as is pretty freaking common for day camps, we were underpaid, but we got a lot of free food because the camp that I was working at was in connection with a drop-in shelter. They got a lot of free food from food banks, and then they would, you know, stuff that the homeless didn't want to eat, they would pass off to us.
Well, the poor didn't want this one.
Which, look, I mean, sometimes it was just that they got, like, too much of something, and they're like, we can't possibly serve this. Like, the homeless population is huge, but they don't want to eat this every single meal for the rest of their lives. So they would offload some of the extra to us. But sometimes it was genuinely just like, yeah, we just, like, you know, this doesn't really vibe with our menu. Yeah. I remember I once got a case of Purple, the world's most powerful antioxidant beverage. It was a purple juice. it really tasted like the world's most powerful antioxidant beverage. I think it's been discontinued. I drank so much of that summer. And that same summer.
You've never been less oxidized.
Oh, man. There was not an ounce of oxide in my body that summer. But yeah, that same summer we got. It was purple. It was instant coffee. It was rice pudding. And I think the fourth thing that we got a lot of was Triscuits.
Oh, nice.
Which, like, you know, not necessarily great altogether. But the rice pudding was awesome. And it was the first time I'd ever really had it. And I had it in little individual cups, like, you know, factory sealed cups of rice pudding, right?
Mass-produced. Like Jell-O.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it may even have been Jell-O brand rice pudding.
Yeah, they have those at the store.
Yeah. And they were great, you know. They were really solid for all of us teenagers waking up too early to get to camp in the morning, not really having time to have a nutritious breakfast. Oh, look, here's some rice pudding. That'll get us through. And what I realized that summer was you can mix stuff into that, like, default little package, right? Because it was sweetened, but it was kind of a neutral flavor. Mm-hmm. But we had lots of instant coffee powder.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I was thinking as we talked about this that I bet a little espresso rice pudding would be good. So tell me about this.
It was great.
Okay.
I think probably were I to try to make it like at home, I would maybe use, either like nice espresso ground in there, or I would find a way to like cook the grounds into it a little bit so that it's not like as gritty, because that was the problem with putting the instant coffee powder into it, was that you got a little bit of that grit in there.
Well, you just use brewed coffee as part of you like mix it with the milk.
That's it. Yeah. But I think I was 15 that summer, so yes. I certainly wasn't thinking about like how to make this, you know.
And listen, like instant coffee things, I like instant coffee granules. I like to sprinkle instant coffee granules on vanilla ice cream,
sure.
And then you have that crunch. So like, it's not the worst.
No, but that's the thing. I think the crunch, to me, that sounds nice. The crunch feels welcome in an ice cream situation. It felt less welcome almost in the rice pudding.
Okay.
But the flavor was amazing. And like, so obviously, you know, we experimented with everything else we could possibly add to the rice pudding that summer. We added, you know, table syrup, we added jelly, we added all kinds of stuff, whatever we had in the communal fridge. And that left me with a really nice, like, warm little nostalgic memory of rice pudding that I wouldn't have had otherwise, because it was not something that my mom ever made.
Yeah, similarly, I didn't grow up with rice pudding. Not because we didn't eat rice, but because we didn't eat pudding. And I didn't really get into it until, I think I've talked about this period in my life before, but there was a period when I was about 15 when I couldn't eat dairy or gluten or sugar or citrus or anything. That was fun because we got crystallized fructose to have instead of sugar, and I discovered that fructose gives me the worst headache of my life, and regular table sugar is just fine. This is why I can't drink regular Coke, actually.
Okay.
Anyway, off that track. So I started making rice pudding, and eventually I was able to start eating dairy again and sugar again, but I had to be off gluten for a while. It bothered my digestion for a long time.
Sure.
And so I would make rice pudding as just like something that I could eat that was sweet and comforting and really, really nice. And so it's kind of like... I think I've also mentioned before that during this period, I sort of developed my own cuisine, right? Because I couldn't eat a lot of the things my family ate, because we ate a lot of pasta and a lot of bread and a lot of stuff I couldn't eat. And so initially I made what would essentially be kheer or like Iranian rice pudding with milk, rose water, cardamom, saffron.
Beautiful.
Which is really, really nice. And then, you know, gradually I would start changing it up depending on how I felt. Do cinnamon, do raisins, do whatever. But it just remains like really just like cozy for me and really comforting, and like kind of one of those markers of like when I started cooking for myself, when I started really like developing my own cooking and my own cuisine.
Yeah, I love that.
And now I really want to try making coffee rice pudding. I might have to do that today.
I mean, I think we have everything we would need for it.
I think we do. One other thing that I want to like kind of shout out rice pudding for, and this is what we've been shouting out rice for all along, like rice is a staple. Rice is food, right? Like it just is what you have. And rice pudding is really pantry ingredients. Rice pudding is really like making something nice with what you have on hand.
Yeah. Which is like, it's beautiful when you can find those little desserts like that, you know?
Because you can really make it with three ingredients. You can make it with just rice, milk, and a sweetener.
Yeah.
You can add other things, of course, but that's all you need.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and like, I think about like, you know, there's bread pudding as well, right?
Which is like similar.
The exact same thing, really. It's mm-hmm. it's leftover bread that you soak in milk. I think it probably takes longer because you have to soak the bread till it's not stale anymore.
Well, you soak the bread in the custard that you cook it in, so it like.
I guess that's true. It probably doesn't take that much longer.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's like, you know, it's rice pudding but bread.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And like, I don't think you would want to do this with pasta necessarily, but you could try it, certainly.
Aren't there, what's the noodle dish? What's the Jewish noodle dish?
Kugel?
I think there's sweet kugel.
Yeah, I think that's a little different from like a rice pudding.
I have heard of people making like sweet macaroni or whatever, but I think that's more a like cursed food.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that it's bad. If it's something you like, good on you. I just think it's less of a cultural cuisine and more of a like something somebody did once and found out they liked.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Robert Pattinson with his microwave, you know?
Yeah. So I just, out of curiosity, looked up pasta pudding, and maybe unsurprisingly, there's not a lot of results in the photos that aren't British. So we're going to just, we're going to leave it at that. Macaroni pudding is apparently something they do in England. And we're going to just leave it at that. You know how I feel about that.
I mean, I will just say, I just want to put like one thing out there that pasta does not hold up texturally the same way that rice does. You can really cook rice until it breaks down and it gets creamy. It doesn't just get disappointing.
Yeah, that's it. Like I almost wouldn't want a pudding textured pasta at that point.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Like, you might as well just use flour.
Yeah, well, or do what my boss advocates for, which is taking your leftover pasta and frying it in a pan the next morning so that it crisps up a little bit and eating that for breakfast.
Oh, we used to do that all the time. That's mm-hmm. something we called it fried noodles. It was often like Sunday when we got back from church at like, you know, 8 p.m. and we were hungry but didn't have time for dinner.
Yep.
You'd take leftover pasta. We'd be like, okay, we're making fried noodles. Fry it in the pan with oil, salt, some herbs.
Sure.
It's absolutely delicious. Actually, we should try making that. The kids would probably eat it.
Yeah, I bet they would.
Yeah. And then like a little parmesan, like, yeah,
or a large quantity.
I know for you parmesan is bigger is better, but enough about pasta.
Let's talk about
giving us money.
Yeah. Oh boy, folks, if you're enjoying the show so far, make sure to hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on so that you never miss a new episode. While you're at it, consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or sharing this episode with an amigo. For every new rating and review we get during the month of Yay-April, we'll be donating $2 to The Depot, our local food bank here in NDG. They can turn every $1 into $3 worth of food for a family in need, so by doing the simple, free act of leaving a rating and review of this show, you're functionally donating $6 worth of food to people who need it. That's a lot of rice.
I'm going to say also, just like putting it out here, shout out to giving food banks money so they can buy what people actually need instead of just having crates and crates of rice pudding.
Yeah. Listen, there's nothing wrong with a little like canned goods drive at a school, but if you yourself as an individual are trying to make a donation, money goes a lot further than whatever you've got in your pantry.
Mm-hmm.
There is literally no other way to turn zero into $6 worth of rice. So if that math is exciting for you, go leave us a rating and review. You can read all about what The Depot is doing at the link in the description of this episode. And if you're not an Apple Podcasts user and you still want to support the show, there's a lot of ways to do it. But the most helpful, the best, the most significant and most appreciated way is honestly just sharing our show with your friends and family. You got a pal who's really into rice pudding? Put them on this episode. You got a friend who really likes rhubarb? Make them listen to last week's show. Do you have friends who are cooks, friends who own restaurants, friends who just really love food and care about food?
Friends who just said, man, I need a new podcast to listen to.
Oh my God. You probably have a friend who needs a new podcast to listen to.
Yeah.
Find your friend with the longest commute.
Ooh.
Suggest this to them. Find someone who only listens to Joe Rogan and give this to them as well, because maybe they need a better podcast in their life. The other way you can support our show, of course, is financially, if you're so inclined. You want to tell them about the Patreon?
If you join our Robert Patreon, you'll get access to our exclusive newsletter, the No Bad Food Recipe Club, and our Discord server where we post new recipes for you to try out and share with your friends and family. We also encourage your own culinary shenanigans and, you know, suggest ways to use up things that are in your fridge. There's just a lot you can get out of our Discord server. If you aren't already a member of our Patreon, please continue joining up today at patreon.com/nobadfoodpod. Today.
I really like Patreon versus Patreon. What do you think?
I wanted to make it like Robert Patreon.
Yeah, me too. I like it a lot though.
I used to say Patreon a lot, and then I got mocked for it, and you in fact told me that it's not Patreon because it's like patron, not patron, but you can actually say patron patron. And I was right, but I got mocked into saying Patreon.
But on this side of the pond, on this side of the pond, you never hear patron.
Well, okay.
That's a little too British.
I don't know.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
Everyone I know who says Patreon is British.
Maybe this is one of those New England things where, like, they say aunt, you know? Maybe we also say patron. I don't know.
Maybe. Anyway.
I'm going to justify myself and say that I just read a lot.
Yeah.
And that if you look at the word, it's patron.
Patron, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not patron, right?
No, it's true. Hey, one last little thing here in the middle of the show before we get back to rice. I want to give a little shout out to Eric, who I met yesterday, who said he was going to check out the show. So, Eric, I hope you actually checked out the show, because if not, you're a liar.
Oh, yeah. Also, shout out to anybody at my job. Those of you who found out I have a podcast, if you listen to this, hi.
If you don't listen to this, you're liars. All right, let's get back to the show. All right, folks, welcome back to the second half of the show. This is where we take the tone down a little bit and we get real nice and intimate with the food.
What?
Isn't it?
What?
I don't know.
I mean, we talk about how we like to eat it.
That's right.
So here's the thing. Rice pudding is fairly simple, right? Like, some of the foods we talk about have a really vast history and a lot of processes involved. And this one is really just like sweet milky rice, good, and we all do that.
Right.
But I do want to give a shout out to the pairing of coconut milk and rice pudding.
Sure.
Because coconut rice pudding, now I believe this is like a Southeast Asian thing originally, right?
Sure.
And, you know, not unlike coconut sticky rice also, which is not puddingy. It's, you know, it's steamed, so it's like a little cake, but is something that I really want to try making sometime when I have ripe mangoes and time on my hands. You can make rice pudding with any milk, as previously stated, but I do suggest a milk that tastes good because the flavor of the milk is going to be really, like, powerful.
Don't use yucky milk.
Like, use a milk that you like to have on its own, you know? Yeah. Not a milk that you're like, it tastes fine in coffee. Like, no.
Right.
And probably my favorite milk, just flavor-wise, is coconut milk.
Sure.
I love coconut milk. Like, good, high-quality, tasty, full of the coconut cream, very coconutty. You can make rice pudding with coconut milk and coconut cream and cook it down and add shaved coconut and maybe add some mango if you want to get fancy. And it is so yummy. Now, I sometimes actually cook my rice with a half a cup of coconut milk for the liquid just because lovely and it makes the texture really nice. I am a big fan of coconut. I don't think I have been shy about that. I can eat an entire box of macaroons. I can, you know, I make a triple coconut pie sometimes that I love. Coconut rice pudding is a way to have that beautiful, like, coconut cream pie flavor with very little work, very little effort. It's really nice. You know, coconut's really nice in the summer. Pairs well with cinnamon if you want to add cinnamon.
Sure.
Pairs well with fruit if you want to add fruit. Pairs well with banana. You can do a little sliced banana on that.
You got me thinking about, like a pineapple coconut cinnamon rice pudding.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds heavenly.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So that's my shout out. And don't do like the silk coconut milk from the fridge at the store. Get yourself a Rooster brand can of coconut milk. Stir that shit up.
Yeah.
Use that because it's delicious.
Yeah. We're talking about real coconut milk, not like coconut flavored milk.
Not like coconut milk watered down. If you can get yourself a whole coconut that's like nice and crack that open and add some of the fresh meat there. Whoo.
Yummy.
So good. I'm so hungry right now talking about this. Ooh, you could fold in a can of like really good mango puree.
Sure. Oof. We talked a little about like texture in rice pudding already, right?
But we could talk more about it.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking is like, you know, we have like sung the praises of the default texture of rice pudding because it's lovely and smooth and delicious. But I think there's room in rice pudding for more texture as well, right? Like you can garnish, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just like anything, you can make your rice pudding and then put some stuff on top. And now I'm thinking like, you know, you can do chocolate shavings if you want. You can do little chunks of chocolate. You can do chocolate chips. You could do chocolate syrup on top if you're nasty.
Uh-huh,
like there's a lot of ways to incorporate chocolate into this. That sounds really nice. But you mentioned something about pistachios earlier.
Oh yeah, pistachios. So on Kheer and on Iranian rice pudding and like a lot of Middle Eastern, crushed up pistachios are really, really common on top. And it's like beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, that sounds heavenly.
Yeah.
Like I love the idea of some crushed pistachio on top of
that. Yeah. You love the idea of crushed pistachio on anything.
I do.
Yeah. Speaking of texture, if I may,
yeah.
I want to also talk about the different grains of rice.
Okay, sure.
Because rice pudding can be made with any grain of rice. Like it can be short, sticky, long. You'll have like longer grained rice like basmati and jasmine, more in sort of India to the Middle East. You'll have short grain rice a lot more in more Eastern Asia. And then I think also in Latin America and the Caribbean, I think it's often short-grained rice there, rather than long-grained. And they have slightly different textures. The short grain, of course, or sticky rice will get more starchy, will get more creamy. The long grain, the grains stay a little more distinct. They might break a little bit, but it's like a little fluffier and less kind of dense and starchy.
Okay.
And all very good.
Yeah.
All very good. You can make rice pudding with brown rice. I've done it. It has that nutty brown rice flavor.
Okay.
And I find that brown rice gets very, very creamy as it cooks down. So like it's really nice in risotto. It's a nice texture. Brown rice pudding is lovely.
Yeah, that sounds really nice.
It really is. And I mean, this is just to say, to encourage you to make rice pudding with whatever rice you have on hand.
Yeah.
Leftover rice from the takeout you got, the half cup of rice you have in your cupboard and you don't know what to do with. You can cook it directly in the milk if you so choose. It just takes a lot longer to cook. Wash it well first. But, you know, I hope this empowers you to take what you have in your pantry and make yourself a nice little treat. You can add an egg and really cook it till it almost like holds together, till it's almost like, you know, stiff, and you could like make a little ball out of it, or you can make it much softer and soupier if that's what you like. And you can really garnish it with whatever you have on hand. You can put in your daily seeds if you're someone like me who eats seeds. You can put in nuts if you're someone like Tom who wants nuts on everything. You can add fruit. You can add dried fruit. Oh man, listen. Dried fruit in rice pudding is top tier. You throw it in not early in the process, but about halfway through the process.
Okay.
So the dried fruit really, really hydrates and gets like plump and sweet in the pudding. And then you have this. This is brought to you by memories of having oatmeal as a child with raisins in it. And since our oatmeal was usually just rolled oats and water, the raisins were like very nice. Nice treat. I really love to do that with dried cranberries. Like, I don't think that's traditional anywhere, but they get lovely. But it is traditional to use zeresh berries in Persia, which are barberries, which are a little red tart berry. Very similar to a cranberry flavor wise. You can get creative with it. You can use whatever flavor combination you want, and it's going to be tasty, and it's going to be warming, and it's going to be cozy, and you should do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, here's just like a general plug for making slightly more rice than you think you're going to need to make. Best case, if you cook too much rice for a meal, you have leftovers that you can turn into rice pudding the next day if you want to, or you can turn into, you know, fried rice if you want to. Worst case, if you cook more rice than you think you're going to need, everybody's super hungry that night and you have enough for people to have seconds or thirds.
Exactly. Throw it in a soup.
Yeah. There's lots of good ways to use leftover rice, and rice pudding is just the tip of the iceberg.
Tip of the riceberg.
Oh, no.
It was right there. It was right rice there.
Oh, God, I'm mad now. All right. Any final thoughts on rice pudding before we wrap this bad boy up?
Overall, positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
10 out of 10.
I wish I ate slightly more rice pudding in my life.
We can fix that.
It's true. We can.
Well, it's time to unplug the Goomba.
It's not a Goomba. It's a Koopa. Oh, you're a monster.
My bad. It's time to unplug the Koopa.
Right here in the middle of our No Bad Food studio table, we've got a Koopa, the lovely little green shell turtle guy from the Mario franchise. His back is stuffed with an onion, and underneath the onion, his back is stuffed with topics for future episodes of the show. So the next time Teffer and I are alone here in the studio, the next thing we are talking about will be determined by this turtle. Do you want to add things to it? You can join us on Patreon and, you know, make some requests and we'll put stuff in here. I'm doing it. I'm ready. Here we go. All right. Reaching in, reaching past the iPhone dongle and pulling out soup.
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 Soup. Soup generally?
General
soup. Soup as a general topic?
Soup as a general topic.
I feel like we've done this.
We may or may not have, but
somebody
soup was
requested
in there.
Just soup.
We got soup in the turtle. So
soup
next time,
soup in the turtle. Soup in the turtle.
Maybe we'll challenge ourselves to talk about ways to incorporate rice into soup specifically. This is a year of rice, after all.
It is a year of rice. That's true. Okay, we can add that to the the roster.
We'll
absolutely. So next week, soup.
Well, not necessarily next week.
Well, next time, soup.
Next time, soup.
Next
we might
year.
Have something else next week. We'll see. We haven't planned our May content schedule yet, so we'll see.
You want to influence it? Now's a good time to hop on the Patreon.
It's true.
Or the Patreon.
Or the Patreon.
It's time to patronize me.
Hey, patronize me, Captain. Thank you so much for listening to No Bad Food. Do you want to be part of the conversation? Do you want to make requests for us to talk about on future episodes of the show? You can hit us up on the socials at No Bad Food Pod and individually at Teffer Bear and at Tom Zalatni. If you like this episode and want to help us make the show even better, you can head to Patreon or patreon.com/nobadfoodpod.
Patreon.com is probably something different.
It's probably true, yeah. And donate. For as little as $1 a month, you'll be joining the ranks of fine folks like Chantal H, Gab, Erica, Andrew, Chantal T, David, Mallory, Sarah, Carolyn, Rachel, Aslam, Anne, and Eric. Our patrons get access to all kinds of awesome perks, including the ability, once again, to request topics for episodes of the show. If that's exciting for you, you can head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod and make it happen.
We also have merch.
Woo!
That's one way we're like Taylor Swift.
It's true.
You can hit the merch link in the description of this episode to get all sorts of great stuff from our friends over at Pod Cavern. Get a little apron to stir your rice pudding in.
Sweet.
And of course, you can support us for free by leaving a rating and review on your podcatcher of choice and by sharing this episode with a friend. Our theme music is by Zach, Put the Rice in the Coconut and Shake It All Up, Ingles, and our cover art is by David Shortgrain Flam. You can find links for both of them in the description of this episode.
And last but not least, the show is produced by me, Tom Zalatni, and you, Teffer Jemian, and edited by me, Tom Zalatni, as part of the Pod Cavern Network. You can find out about all the great shows on our network at www.podcavern.com. We'll see you next week, and in the meantime, remember,
there's no such thing as bad food. You understand. Just takes a little time, it takes a little time, it takes a little time with me. I hope you don't mind, we'll take it slow this time.
No Bad Food is a proud member of the Pod Cavern Network. For more great shows like this one, head to podcavern.com.
Have you ever seen those lists on the internet that's like top 5 sandwich toppings, top 5 movies of the year, top 5 celebrities who have a very punchable face? You know what I'm talking about. The point is, all these lists drive us crazy because we have no idea who made them and how they even narrowed down their top 5 list. That's where my podcast comes in. My name is Tung Law, and I am the host of Ranked, top five lists of stuff that don't matter. In every episode, with the help of a motley crew of self-proclaimed experts, we debate, battle, and work together, showing you the entire process of how we got there to create a top five list of any and every topic we can think of, like top five brunch menu items, top five fictional dogs, top five 90s songs, top five Steves. The list goes on, and we will not rest till we rank basically everything. So join us every second Thursday in the Pod Cavern for Ranked, top five lists of stuff that don't matter.
Top five.
In 2017, Universal Studios announced The Dark Universe, an ambitious project that would see all of their classic movie monsters come together like some kind of horror Avengers. Only one movie was ever made, which bombed so hard they canceled the entire franchise. But what if they hadn't?
On our podcast, Are You Afraid of the Dark Universe, we imagine the connected horror universe that never was. Every week, one of us pitches the other on the next movie in the universe until we grow to Marvel proportions and beyond.
So far, we've tackled Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and many more, and we're just getting started. Follow along on your favorite podcast app and ask yourself the question,
Are you afraid of the dark universe?